You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Are you tired of hearing about the Ted Bundys and Jeffrey Dahmers on True Crime Podcasts? I thought so. We've got something just for you. I'm Pat.
And I'm Darcy, and we are the hosts of Pod of Terror, a true crime podcast that dives into lesser-known cases from around the world.
Grab a glass of wine and join us every Thursday as we discuss the most vile, despicable human beings on the planet.
It'll be a dark and twisted journey, so don't forget your drink. You're gonna need it.
We're looking forward to seeing you next Thursday.
Now then, witches and beautiful souls, welcome to another episode of the Bell Witch Podcast. A podcast to get you witching in the 21st century with me, Swales, the friendly green witch. This is a Moot Loo episode recorded all the way back from last July, I realise, with the lovely Laura of The Witches Magazine. Most of you will probably read The Witches magazine. It is absolutely gorgeous. It is such an aesthetically pleasing magazine, but it is also jam-packed to the brim with magical content, gorgeous photographs and stories, true life stuff, spells. I was a subscriber a couple of years back, and this episode has absolutely made me resubscribe. And eventually, who knows, I should try and get a write-up in there when I have time to breathe. As this year marches to a very fast and abrupt end, 'tis the season of capitalism. Everybody's going nuts for the big crimbo. I am just not ready for it at all. And today I found myself having quite a big bout of anxiety and comparing and despairing and just sheer horror, really, about everything that's going to happen in the next 4 weeks and suffering burnout. Thank goddess for podcasting, because it keeps me sane, keeps me going, fills my cup and lifts my spirit. I visited the Mind Body Spirit Festival down in Birmingham at the NEC. I was lucky enough to get gifted a ticket from Lee, or as I'm going to call him, Lee Cake of Mind Cake Podcast. Bless him, he had a load of spare tickets and he gifted me one. So I drove down there on the Saturday and met up with him and his cousin and his friend, who turned out to be proper cool badass women, a bug lady and a kickboxer. How cool is that? And it was such a good day out. It was very intense. It was busy because it was the 10-year anniversary. I saw a number of talks from people such as witchy royalty Rebecca Campbell, who does all the gorgeous oracle decks that are all themed around elements, but she's just brought one out that's black and gold, which is unusual for her because I think her colour scheme tends to be quite pastely. And also Francesca Amber, who I've seen before actually at the Manifest back in June. So it was really cool to see her with a book, because I think back in Manifest she was saying the book's about to come out, and the book was out. So that's on my list of things I want for Christmas. Manifest like a mother. I didn't see many witchy businesses. I think there were one or two there, but it were mostly holistic services and healing, Reiki, drums, lots and lots of crystals. A new magazine called House of Wisdom, spelled H-A-U-S. They had a Temple of Truth at the Mind Body Spirit Festival, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and heard a few talks. in there about different aspects of healing and meditation. So yeah, it was a great day out, and I came home on the same day and slept for 12 hours, so it must have really burnt me out. I couldn't have done all 3 days like Lee did. Oh my God. Intense. In other news, I did another guest spot with the lovely Danielle of Sacred Spirit Sessions podcast, talking about my witchcraft, my spirituality, again, sigils, because that's what I'm really known for. And it was a gorgeous conversation just today, actually, as I'm recording this intro. So stay tuned for that. It should be out sometime next week. You see, I'm getting over my fear on going on other people's podcasts. I just need to get on some witchy ones now, I think. Will you have me, anybody? As this podcast comes out publicly, I'll have just been volunteering down in London at Witchfest, which I'm sure will be blooming fantastic. So hopefully I might have met a few witches down there, and I'll try not to win another sword. I think that's it from me. Enjoy this Moot Loot episode with the lovely Laura, as she tells us how the Witch magazine manifested and how much magic and joy it brings to her life. Welcome, Laura, to the Bell Witch podcast. It's really great to have you here, and thank you for accepting my invitation. I was going to say this is your first podcast, but you've just told me it's not, is it? You've been on a podcast before.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me, Swales. I've done a podcast once before, so I'm not an expert, but I'm really looking forward to our chat.
So I've asked you to come on because you have this amazing magazine that you run. Is it every quarter?
Witches Magazine, yes. It's a seasonal magazine which I produce from Witches HQ, which is in Devon, close to the Dorset border. The magazine has been running now for 6 years. Take yourself back to 2019. It would have been the beginning of the year. A group of girls were in Cornwall. It was a Friday night. They'd lit the candles. They had started burning the incense. Glass of wine, pack of tarot cards, and they asked a question. And one of them suddenly said, "I know what we need to do. We need to start a magazine about witchcraft." And the reason for this is that they were on a course in Falmouth University, a journalism course, and they had a module where they were asked to come up with a magazine concept. And this was going to be a 3-month project. And so that's what they did. They decided that because they were all into witchcraft and they felt that there was a gap in the market, that that's what they should do. So they pulled the project together, and just before Christmas, they had to present the concept to some London editors who were down for the day to assess the idea. And at the end of the presentation, my daughter, who was the group leader of the project, presented, and they said to her, "We actually think you should do this for real. And if we had the investment, we would give it to you right now.
Whoa.
But we don't, so we think you should do it." Now, bearing in mind, this course had been going on for years. No student had ever actually taken it forward from there. So she came home at Yule and she said, "Mum, I've got a first for this project. It's amazing. And they think we should do it." And so, being a single mum and being a supportive and encouraging mum, I said, "Well, you should do it." She said, "Yeah, I think I will, but I'll need to talk to the girls." So she spoke to the girls and came back in the February. And I said, "Have you started that magazine yet?" And she said, "No, because girls don't want to do it." And so I said, "Well, maybe you should on your own." And so she did. So the first edition came out in the summer of 2019. It was the end of her second year at university. And I'm so proud of her because she set up the whole thing, the website, the ordering system. She produced the magazine. She's engaged with writers from all over the world and photographers and pulled it together and sent it to print and shipped it. And that's how it all started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she ran it for just over a year. She finished her degree. She wanted to be the next Kate Adey and had an internship promised with the BBC. But unfortunately, because of COVID changed everything, and the course, the activity didn't carry on. And so She was left thinking, what do I do next? But what she couldn't do was do the magazine anymore because she didn't have the time. So we had a conversation one day and she said, I don't know what to do. I don't want to stop witches, but I haven't got anybody I can pass it on to. So I said, what about me? And she said, but you got a job. And I said, because of COVID, I haven't anymore. So I said I would babysit it for 6 months and see how it went. And the rest is history. I've been doing it for 5 years now. And it is the best thing that ever happened to me because I absolutely love what I do. And I hope that comes across.
Oh, it's lovely. I love how it started. And this magazine is absolutely beautiful. If you don't know it, you need to have a look at it. Like even the paper that it's made on is just so high spec. It's really impressive.
It's funny, actually. We go to festivals a couple of times a year and people come up to me and they go, oh, this is the Vogue of witchcraft magazines. And I says, well, thank you very much. And I'm very proud of it. You can buy it digitally as well. But to me, to have it in your hands and to be able to open it and the smell of it and the feel of it is so important. It's sort of sumptuous, really. And so I love it. I'm so blessed that we're coming into our seventh year, and I don't think anybody would have ever thought that it would go this far. And it's fabulous, and we have so much support. And I'm so grateful for that, really. For those that don't know, we ship all over the world, but we also have writers and photographers and illustrators from all over the world, and they submit their work to me, and then I pull the magazine together. I don't do it alone. I'm very lucky. I have Vanessa, who's an amazing editor, and she edits all of the articles that are sent to me. I have Gabby. Gabby looks at all of the poetry that's sent because it's not my strength, I have to be honest. Gabby looks at everything and then decides which ones are going to go in. And I've got a new team member, Harry, who approached me saying he wanted to be a volunteer so that he could find out what being in the publishing world was like, to which I laughed because I'll explain in a second how it does work. But Harry now has joined us and he's now doing proofreading and he's wonderful. And so I have that sort of little team. But I also have my partner, David, who initially got involved because he's really interested in photography. And so he wanted to do some photographs for the magazine, and he's really into nature. So he does take some fabulous, fabulous photographs. But if you can imagine, I press the go to print button, and Harry thought that then I send all of the address information off to somebody else and it's print on demand and it just goes out. Oh no, 100 boxes arrive at my house and we have to bring them in. They're quite heavy. We stack them up in the sitting room. We have a lot of extra coffee tables, as you can imagine, and we stuff envelopes. So David is there in the background. He helps out with all of that sort of thing. He helps me with the first run to the post office, which fortunately, because he's a carpenter joiner, he has a van, because we wouldn't get them in a car. Because he's a carpenter joiner as well, he, before I go to print, he will actually look at the magazine, and he's got a very good attention to detail, and he'll go, I think you might need to move that little bit or that, or I'm not sure about that image. And so it's really great. It sort of feels as though it's a sort of a family affair, really.
That must take you ages. How long does that take you?
It takes a long time.
To make it into like an event?
Well, I must admit, I'm getting to the point where I'm beginning to think that I might throw a envelope stuffing party and get a group of my friends around and just have a good old giggle whilst we do it, because it does take a long time. I'm very fortunate also that I've changed the way that we do things quite a lot over the years. And one of the best things that I did was I was approached by Samantha Elemental's Magical Emporium. Could we stock your magazine? And I said, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, that would be great. Thank you very much. And now we have 4 stockists in America and we have 35 in the UK. So we do package up boxes of magazines as well so that we don't have to stuff thousands of envelopes, but we do have to stuff quite a few. But that's great, because it's lovely that they are so supportive and that they want to stock the magazine in their shops. But also it means that the print run is higher, which means the cost per magazine comes down. And I don't know if you've noticed, Wales, but the magazine hasn't increased in price in the 5 years that I've been running it. For me, it's really important that the magazine is affordable. It's a quality product, but it's also affordable because I don't want to price it out of the market as such. And I know that other magazines do charge a lot more for them, but I don't do that. I do this for love, and it's really important that I try and keep the price the same. So I make it very clear with the stockists that they are really helping keep the magazine afloat, which is fabulous. And if anybody wants to be a stockist, they can contact me. It is a balance because whilst I mention the team, it really is 95% of the work is me. And there's only so far I can stretch.
Yeah, so, of course, yeah.
But I keep on trying to get David to do a little bit more. But
if you want to volunteer, any listeners, if you want to help, like pack some envelopes...
Oh, I've got friends who'd be more than happy to do that, and they have offered. But I don't know, it's just part of the process, really, which I really enjoy doing. For me, I love doing all of it because whilst I love pulling the magazine together, and for me, the aesthetics are really important. So I start with 92 blank pages. And I find it quite daunting, I have to be honest. I've got a whole load of articles that are sent in, so I put those in first, and then I look for the images that will go with the articles. And I try and follow colour themes, and it really is something that I really, really enjoy doing. And I work with a number of amazing artists who I only have to email them and say, could I use this image? And they're happy to share it, which I think is lovely, which brings me on to the point that for me it's the connections and the collaboration and the sense of community that's really important. And it's interesting that if you look at Instagram, for example, and I look at some of my artists' pages, I see that the other artists and the writers are following them and they're supporting them and they're making comments. And I think that's lovely because to me, part of witchcraft is about community, and it's about caring and sharing and being kind and thoughtful, and that is really important to me.
The way you talk about it does remind me about why I podcast. You know, like when you begin, it's really daunting, like, oh gosh, what are we going to talk about? Ah, and then at the end, you're like, look what I've done. And all these people in your community are like, I love what you've done. And I'm like, thanks.
Yeah, and your podcasts are amazing. They are.
Thank you. Do you have an editorial background? Because you've definitely got an eye for it.
No.
Really? I can't believe that.
Potted history. I actually worked for IBM for 26 years, moving around different divisions. So did a bit of everything there. I suppose I did work the last 10 years in marketing, but can imagine a big corporate company like that and then, you know, being a sole trader, very, very different. So no, I have no editorial background at all, but I love art, and I'd like to think I have an eye for colour and design.
Totally do.
Thank you. All started by Ellen, my daughter, so, you know, sort of I've followed through. Although, as I said, I have changed quite a few things, so I don't know if you've noticed, but the magazine has no adverts in it. It's 92 pages of quality content, but as part of this community and collaboration and supporting, to me it's really important that I can support small businesses. So I came up with the Witches Notice Board concept, and that is where people can advertise in that, and it's an insert that goes into the magazine, but then they can take it out and pin it up on their notice board, and then you don't have to flick through all those pages to find the ad that you were looking for. But again, I don't charge very much for it. I know that some of my competitors charge about 4 times more. And again, as long as I'm covering my costs, then I'm happy that I'm supporting them. I'm trying to get the word out for them as well to try and help encourage and nurture them too.
And the Bellwitch podcast has had an advert in this little pullout. Do you remember? I couldn't even do the right size. You had to just be like, give us it here. I'll blooming do it. I was like, I can't do it. I can't. Tell you what, just send me it. I'll do it. Thank goodness somebody knows what they're doing.
But I remember those early days when I first took over from Ellen, and I'd never used InDesign before. And I just, you know, help. And I'd call her and I don't know what I've done. I don't know. Oh, dear mum. You know. And obviously she wasn't at home then, so she couldn't just look at it. So, yes, we had some interesting times in the early days, but I'd like to think I'm a little bit more competent at it now.
Does Ellen still do anything at all in the magazine?
No, not really. I do send her a copy every season, and she is really kind. This summer edition that I sent her, she said, "Mum, honestly, this is the best one you've done so far." And I said, "Oh, thanks." Because she did a degree in journalism, and I do sometimes ask for her opinions on certain things. Sometimes I'm sent an article which I perhaps feel isn't suitable, but I do value her opinion to say, "What do you agree with me on this?" And she does. But generally speaking, though, she's not really involved anymore. Although my mother died about 2.5 years ago, and Ellen did come to live back at home for a while, and she did help me through that patch. So that was really great and lovely, you know, mother-daughter supportive piece, because we wanted the magazine to continue, but obviously it was a very difficult emotional time for both of us. So we pulled together then to work on it. And I don't know if you remember, but she actually wrote the editor's letter for that one. And she's a great writer.
It's such a nice project. I love it. I love that it's just taken off. And there were a gap in the market. I mean, there's lots of witch magazines around, but they're all like over the pond, aren't they, in America?
I think there are a couple of UK ones. They are very different to us. And I mentioned the word competition earlier on. I don't see them as competition. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. I think there's a place in the market for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But some of them are a little bit more way out. For me, I'm leaning more towards modern witchcraft being about being at one with nature, about using natural herbs, flowers, to enhance your life, to improve your health, getting out in nature. Whereas some of the others are a little bit more, trying to think of the right word, really. A bit more witchy, I suppose.
I know what you mean. Yeah, there's like probably more, I don't know, spiritual, maybe? Or...
I don't know. But I mean, our tagline has always been written by witches for witches. And for me, it's important to have a place where people can share their knowledge and their experiences without having to go to a publisher, you know, and write a book. So it's a way for them to get their words out and their experiences and knowledge. And it always amazes me. I mean, I always have far more submissions than I have room for. When I do the final proofread at the end, it amazes me that, bearing in mind the only thing I've said I'm looking for is something that is, say, autumnal, that there are words that go through in every article, or there are links between one and another. And I always find it a bit spooky, really, that it just all seems to come together. I just love the fact that we give people a voice. That's really important. And fundamentally, everyone's just really kind, and that's something that has always been very important to me. I know it is sort of cliche, but, you know, if you can be anything, be kind. It's so true. And what's interesting is that I formed really good friendships with a lot of our writers and our illustrators. We talk about meeting up. We actually have a chat room where we just have conversations from time to time. And sometimes I'm involved, sometimes I'm not. Someone will be doing a new piece of artwork and they'll put it up on there. And they're all supporting each other, which is lovely. But on top of that, I have made some really good friends who started off as customers, and we send emails to each other. You know, I know their life stories, they sort of know mine, and I just love that connection. Super. And some are in this country. I've got a lovely lady in Australia who we pass the time of day from time to time. What's also super is that, I mean, as an example, about a month ago, a gentleman wrote to me who takes the magazine, and he said, "Do you know Kelly? Because she's got a wonderful business with lovely handmade jewellery." So I contacted her and said, "So-and-so's mentioned you. Would you like to write an article for us?" And the next day the article arrived. She'd written it and it was fabulous. And I asked for some photographs. And I said to her, "Would you like to be a stockist?" And she said, "I don't have a physical shop, but I know someone who does." And so she put me in contact with them. And then they got in contact and said, "Yeah, we'd love to take the magazine." They ordered a quantity. They sold them in the first day. They asked for some more. And they've said, "And by the way, have you spoken to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so?" Because they could write the article. So it's just so wonderful that there are all those connections there.
We're all swimming in the same fish pond.
I know.
Very large pond, but it's there.
It feels very small at times.
It does. I'm guessing it might be a bit of a silly question, but you are a witch.
Of course.
Of course you're a witch. And is there a way, I don't know if you do this, but do you use any magic within bringing the magazine together? Like, have you got any rituals before you complete one?
Oh, that's a good question. I suppose the office used to be downstairs in the sitting room. And I've moved it up into what was Ellen's bedroom. And so I've got my crystals up here. I've got my incense and my candles. I light those a lot. I listen to soft music when I'm producing the magazine. And I suppose I do sort of look up to the universe and say, help. So, yeah, there are certain other things that I do, but not consciously, probably subconsciously. Yeah, because I think a lot of my witchcraft, I started as a little girl, but I didn't realise that that's what I was doing, because I didn't have a family history of witches in the family. So it was sort of, it's all intuitive without knowing what it was. And shall we say that probably doing the magazine and taking it over has made me realise that that's who I am. Yeah.
I think a lot of people did and they didn't know, like you say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not something that ever was in my sphere of consciousness, I suppose. I didn't live in a witchy area then. I do now. No, it's not something that ever consciously sort of, I thought about. But now I realise it is. And the fact that I do the yoga, the fact that I meditate, the fact that I love being out in nature. I do have rituals without realising that they were rituals that I started with Ellen, and I still do them now, even though she's not here. So, yes, I'm not as knowledgeable as many. I say in the magazine, there is so much to learn that you can't possibly know everything. And that's why we have one section which is back to basics, which is, you know, sort of a sheep dip in how to do rune readings or that sort of thing, because some people specialise in crystals, some people specialise in tarot. So that's why I try and have a mixture of everything in there. Some goddesses, folklore from different countries, recipes. There is just so much to learn. So I wouldn't say I'm a crone.
You're a mother.
I'm a mother.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I suppose I am, yes. I'm old enough to be a crone, but I'm not knowledgeable and experienced enough.
You say that, but I think you'd be surprised, because I think a bit like this as well, like I don't know nothing, but
yeah.
I managed to talk on a podcast once a month about something. And you never stop learning, do you? You never stop learning.
Absolutely.
And that's definitely a witchcraft thing. We're open to being wrong and being knowledgeable and changing minds and,
Lifelong learning. But also I think it's really important to admit when you've made mistakes.
Absolutely. But we are human.
We are human.
We do as best.
Yeah. And when we are stretched, busy keeps us going.
Autumn's Oddities is a strange and unusual podcast made by the strange and unusual, me, Autumn Gruby. Each week, I'll be taking you through some of the creepiest cases true crime has to offer. It won't only be true crime, I'll also be covering cryptids, haunted places, haunted things, and the true stories that inspired horror movies. Listen every Monday and Friday for new episodes. And remember, if it's creepy and weird, you'll find it here.
This might be a hard question. Is there a bit of the magazine that's your favourite, like the process of doing it? Or do you like it all equally?
I like it all, yeah. Mm-hmm. I must confess, I do love going out and finding artists and good artwork. And some are very supportive and they're happy to share, and some will share once and say, you know, I'm afraid you're going to have to pay for it next time, in which case we can't do that.
Yeah.
The costs don't allow us to. But I do love going and searching out. And when I find a new artist, or a new artist writes to me and says, do you like my works? That's wonderful. In fact, there's a story there. The Pagan and Witches Festival in Meriden at the beginning of May, we've been going to for the last 5 years. And this lady came up to me and said, would you consider my artwork? And I said, send it to me and I'll have a look at it. And so she did. And she came back the next day and said, what did you think? And it's my biggest sort of dread is that if it's not very good, then sort of it's one thing over email saying thank you, but not for the magazine. But when it's face to face, it's a lot more.
No.
And of course, it had gone into my spam, so I hadn't seen it. So there she was, and she said, "Oh, no, this is my artwork." And it's Claire Valentine, and she is fabulous, as are all of the other artists. But I knew as soon as I saw two of her images that they were going to be on the covers of the magazine. But I didn't tell her that, because I never tell the artist that they're on the cover. But I always send them a copy so that they see it first, which is important to me. Angela has been with us for right from the beginning. Ellen found her right in the beginning, and she's always had her images inside. And when I did choose hers on a couple of occasions and put them on the cover, she was so excited, and that's lovely. And we've got Elaine, and we've got Amy and Jess. They're all just fabulous, and they're all lovely human beings, which is great.
And you can imagine opening it up and being like, "Oh my God, that's my art on the cover." You'd lose it.
Well, I'd like to think that's the way, but, you know, perhaps not. Because, they're just all so talented, and that's what's so wonderful. And they're all trying to earn a crust. So it's my way of trying to help support them, really, getting their artwork out there. Although they're perfectly capable of doing that themselves as well. So, but everything we can do to try and help.
Like I say, it's the community and the coming together. It's supporting each other.
And it's lovely because at the festival that I've just talked about, having been there now, we all know each other because we all go every year. And it's lovely. And customers that we meet up with, and I still say, "Hi, how are you doing? And how did the subscription go?" And they'll go, "You remember me? Of course." And that's lovely. And last May, Kate said, "Help, I need some tent pegs." And David went over and helped, and he helped Claire set up hers. And it's sort of all a big sort of community, all pulling together for the same aim, which is lovely. And on the back of that, I've got to know Barbara and Flavia, and now they're writing for the magazine, which is great. And in fact, we're introducing a new section in the autumn edition, which is Dear Barbara. And any question that anybody wants to ask, they can ask, and Barbara will answer it. So we tried a spiritual sister a few years ago, and it fell flat. So we're hoping that people will send in questions and keep that one alive, which would be great.
Oh, is that a bit of a Bellwitch exclusive right there?
Yeah.
I always get them. It's a bit of a thing. Love it. You mentioned you do festivals.
Yes.
So are the festivals mostly down in your neck of the woods, down south?
No, it's madness, absolute madness. Bearing in mind we are on the south coast, southwest coast. Meriden is middle England, so that's that festival. The other one we have been doing is a body, mind, soul type event in Shrewsbury, which is miles away from us. But interestingly enough, we met one of our stockists there this year. They'd already started being a stockist, Ian and Jane from Earth and Holistics. And they're just wonderful people, and what they sell is just brilliant, you know, homemade incense and etc. And Ian explained that he goes to all of the northern festivals, so he's going to be taking our magazines to those, which means that we don't have to do those, because it's time, really, because it takes an awful lot of effort to pull everything together. And also, I don't know if you've actually weighed it, but the magazine weighs half a kilo. So if we're taking a load of magazines to a festival, you know, the back of the van is really weighted down. And David sort of says, "Have to be a bit careful here if we get stopped." Because obviously you've got to take the gazebo and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Because of health conditions of mine, I do get very, very tired. So I can't do that many festivals. I'd love to, because I find it really fulfilling, because I meet old and new customers, and it's lovely to get that instant feedback. And the number of people who say, "We didn't know you existed," and wow, look at this, which is lovely for me, because as you probably gathered, I'm sat up here in Ellen's bedroom and I don't get out much. So it's lovely to actually see people and really get a reaction from them. And we've had some interesting discussions, because the Shrewsbury event isn't a witchcraft festival, and lots of questions about witchcraft and is it real. And
can't believe people still ask us that. Is it real?
Oh yeah, very much. And we even had three lads who came, who were on their bikes, and they said, "If it's real, then do a magic trick."
Oh.
And I just said, "Look around you. That's magical."
Such a good response, though. Wish I think of that. I always go, "I'm not a magician. I'm a witch. I can't pull a rabbit out of a hat."
Yeah. That's the thing. It's not illusion. It's about manifesting and making things happen. going back to Am I a Witch? I have always made things happen. If I'm determined enough, and I am, then I will make something happen.
So. Manifesting! In terms of magical stories that people send in, mm-hmm. is there any that you remember like as one of your favourites?
Quite a few.
I thought there might be.
It's interesting because, you know, I'm sat here, a new writer sends in a piece and I sit and I read it, and every so often there is one that just gives me goosebumps. Penny Taylor this season, summer, wrote about big breathing and about a lesson from her daughter as a baby, and that was magical. We have Becky, who lives in France. She's a beekeeper and she writes every season, and her writing moves me. It's wonderful. But equally, I have a very embarrassing moment or a story about a lady who came to the festival and she was with a friend. And I've only ever done this twice in my life, but I said, congratulations, when is the baby due?
Oh!
I will never say it again.
No, I don't.
And she said, actually, I'm not pregnant. I've just come out of hospital and I've had a major operation. And I went, I am so, so sorry. And she said, no, that's okay. I'm happy to talk about it. She said, I'm a type 1 diabetic and I've had kidney failure and I went into hospital and I met this lady who's standing next door to me. Oh, see, I've got the goosebumps again every time I tell this story. And that was Victoria, and she was talking about her friend Chrissy, who's the Beesome lady, and she told me that she wasn't into witchcraft, Victoria, until she went into hospital, and Chrissy is her nurse, and was giving her the transfusions, and they started talking about it, and as a result, that's how she got into witchcraft, because she dragged her along. And I said, I need you to write about this. Because we do have a section called Self, and whilst some of that is about, say, yoga moves and things that you can do to improve your health, some of it is about experiences as well and how you came to witchcraft. I said, and I would really like you to write. And the next year I said to her, Victoria, I really do need you to write that story, please, because it's such a moving story. And she did. It was brilliant. She said, and I don't know where to start. And I said, just tell it as it is. And she did. And we've become friends. And she now always makes sure that she does come over to talk to us. And she's since had even more surgery. And now she's got a pancreas donor. And she's now no longer a diabetic.
Oh, wow.
And we talk about that because I'm a type 1 diabetic. And I would love to be in a position where I didn't have to inject. And she said it's really odd because she doesn't have to anymore. And she can eat what she likes and she can do what she likes. So, yeah, it's those sorts of stories that really I find very moving.
That's a fabulous story. Mm. All because you said something that you quickly regret, but then it turned out absolutely beautiful.
Yes. And because of that, I'm quite happy to talk about it and say, I made a mistake, but it all turned out good. And we were meant to have that conversation.
Cosmic timing. So future wise for the magazine, is there any plans in the pipeline or unusual new stuff? Oh, you don't have to share if you're not allowed to share.
No.
I mean, you're the boss, right? So you can share what you want.
My future plans are just to keep it going. I am told that it helps a lot of people. I do get an awful lot of emails of thanks, which is really rewarding. And people have said that it's really helped them to come out of the broom closet, or it's really helped them to understand where they're going. And so if it just helps one person, then I would like to keep it going. I'm not at retirement age yet, but I can see myself doing this forever until I can no longer do it, as it were, because I really do enjoy what I do. And all the time people are enjoying it, then I will continue it. Over the years, I've taken subscriptions of magazines. And after a year, if you renew it, I felt that you were almost getting the same again. And so I try and keep it fresh and I try not to repeat subject areas. What I would say is that I'm also very good at listening. So if anybody feels that there's something that should be changed, then, you know, I'd like them to tell me, because I don't know unless they tell me. And if there's something that I'm missing, for example, that they would like in there, then let me know and we'll see what we can do. I have no control whatsoever what people write about. No control whatsoever, because people will say to me, what would you like me to write about? And I say, I'm not going to tell you what you should write about, because at the end of the day, it's got to be something from your heart and it's got to be something that you're passionate about. I can't tell you to write about Persephone, for example. So I'd like to think that it's still fresh, even years on. I have changed things since Ellen's day. I've changed some of the fonts. I've changed the layout a little bit. I try and squeeze as much as I can in, but it's getting to the point now where I think it's looking a bit full. But I don't want to let anybody down by not publishing if I think it's worthy of publish. So yeah, plans for the future, no plans except to carry
keep going
on. And hopefully until such time as people decide that they don't think it's for them anymore.
I want to write in now. I want to be part of it. I mean, I don't think I've ever, have I sent any? No, I don't think I have.
No, you haven't.
No. I wrote for Pagans of the North for just over a year, actually. I did a column, Witching with Kids.
Yes.
But because it was every Sabbat, it's actually quite a lot of work. You don't think it is, but because the Sabbats, we're such part animals, we have Sabbats like all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
So after a year, I was a bit like, I can't squeeze it in my life anymore as a regular thing. But I do miss it. And it was nice to be on a team with Quinn and everybody who runs it. But
Absolutely. No, and that's the thing. I don't think people do realise just how much work is involved. I'm at my desk at usually 8 o'clock in the morning. I do take an afternoon nap because I have ME, so I can't keep going. But I'm still often at my desk at 7 o'clock at night. But I think when you love what you do, you just do it.
And time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like I look at the clock and it's 5 to midnight and I go, oh my God, I've got to go to bed and stop editing.
I'll often say to David, right, I'm just going to go upstairs and finish off such and such. I'll only be half an hour, and then an hour later.
Yes.
I'll say, I'm hungry. But I mean, fortunately, he's got the bug too, and he absolutely loves being involved. So he does understand, and he is so supportive. Bearing in mind, he's a very quiet man. I remember the first event that we went to, he went round all of the stands telling them about the magazine and that they could advertise their businesses in it, which was so not him. But he said, I just believe in what you do, so I want to do everything I can to help, which is great.
I think a lot of listeners listening to this right now will be like, I want to write in. So have you got any advice or pointers as to how to go about this, what to send?
I have guidelines on the website, submission guidelines, and that says up to 1,500 words. But what I would say is that you're more likely to get in if it's less than 1,000 and preferably about 800, because I think attention span of people, I want to put lots of different content in rather than lots of long articles. And I'd just say, yeah, write in. I accept submissions all the time. So although I'm now closing the autumn issues, so that's pretty much gone to bed, and I'm going to start working on the winter edition soon. But if somebody wants to write something about springtime, a bit of a spoiler here, but somebody said, I'd like to write about the Butser Beltane event. And I said, well, you're too late for this year, but if you want to write it for next year, I've got that already for spring, and I do have pieces. In fact, gosh, we've had so many submissions for poetry. Please don't send any poetry. There were so many that, and some of them have sent, you know, like 5 poems. So I've had to say to them, we will publish them, but it's going to be over the next year.
Like staggered.
So if someone wants to write about something in particular and it's summertime, they can send it in now. I'm getting organised enough now that I've got a list and I know what's come in, and, you know, I work to that.
That's good. Yeah, that you keep hold of stuff.
Don't feel tied by the season that we're in or the one that the deadline is coming up.
And you proofread, so don't worry if you're like me and you're dyslexic and you can't spell for your life.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, with all this technology, that still typos seem to end up in the magazine. And it's my biggest nightmare, but there's always one thing or two that slips through. And as soon as I turn when the magazine arrives from the printers, I'm nervous, but I'm also excited. And I open the box and I put it in, and I turn the page and I'm like, oh no,
ah.
I missed it. And now I've got 2 proofreaders on top of myself. I'm hoping that we'll get those. But yeah, don't worry about that, because Vanessa's really good at editing, and then the other two are very good at their proofreading. So yeah, don't worry about that.
It's like the sock, in it, that is always out the washing machine when washing's on. You're like, there's a blooming sock on floor, you bugger.
That's a brilliant analogy, actually. I like that. Yeah, on top of the washing machine, waiting for the next dock.
Oh, yeah. These are which problems? These are problems. So where can we find you? Give your magazine a plug.
It's Witches Magazine. So it's www.witchesmagazine.com and Witches Magazine on Instagram. If you want to write to me, it's witchesmag@outlook.com. And it is me that answers the emails. It's me that makes the tea. It's me that does most of it. So don't be surprised if I don't come back too quickly. But I do try and respond as quickly as I can. It sort of depends on where in the cycle we are. You can imagine launch week is just manic, because we have, and we've not talked about how I sell the magazine, but you can order online or you can go and buy from the stockist. But you can also take out an annual subscription, and you can either do that by paying up front and I automatically send it out, or you can order it once and it comes out of your credit card once a quarter. All of the international ones I send a week before launch. All of the UK ones I send 2 days before the launch. And then there's the launch. And then it's all the orders that come in with them. So it's sort of very, very busy around that time. And we try and stuff as many envelopes as we can. So we've got piles of them everywhere and postal bags everywhere. I think it's quite nice to be able to have an annual subscription, because then you get the four seasons and you know that it's going to be coming.
I'm going to resubscribe now, obviously, because you're talking about it. And it's like, I want back in. I want in.
Oh, that's so kind. It's really funny, actually. You get to know certain customers particularly well. And there's a guy, he won't mind me mentioning him, Froggy, who is an American. And whenever I get an email from him, he obviously doesn't know where the caps lock is. So everything is in capitals. So it feels like he's shouting at me. And he sent an email recently saying, I just love your magazine. I love the fact that as soon as your envelope arrives through the door, it puts a smile on my wife's face. And I just thought that was lovely. And we are distinctive. We're not shrink wrap. So I put it in a jiffy bag, a yellow jiffy bag. So everyone knows when it arrives that that's what it is. But if you don't want your neighbours to know about it, or you don't want anyone in your family to know about it, there's nothing to say that it's Witches Magazine on the outside of the envelope. And I think that's important. I do get asked that question quite a lot. You know, I'm not out of the broom closet yet. I don't want my friends to know.
In terms of eco-friendliness, is it like recycled paper or anything like that?
That's an interesting point. We are changing our printer this season. I was approached by a gentleman who was at the Shrewsbury Festival, and it's a family-run business. They're very competitive on price, but they're also, it's not recycled paper, but for every tree that's cut down, they replace it.
Oh, that's good.
And that's really important. It's really difficult. It's a very good question, actually, because in this day and age, should we be having a printed magazine for ecological reasons? And I would argue, no, we probably shouldn't. But the way I look at it is that I've been told it's like having an encyclopedia, and people have got a shelf where they're collecting the magazines and they refer back to them. And I think from that perspective, that's really good, because then you know that they're going to be used again and again and again.
I think as witches, we're just so aware, aren't we, of our impact. Is there anything you want to end on, or anything else you'd like to mention?
I would like to thank everybody who has had any involvement with the magazine in its creation, the content. I'm very much aware that I'm almost a facilitator. I pull it together. But without the commitment of the writers and the illustrators and the photographers, we wouldn't have a magazine. And I'm very much aware of that. And so it's a huge thank you. And as I said, some of the guys have been with me right from the beginning, and that's been wonderful. And they, as you said, it takes a lot to write something. And when you've got to do that 4 times a year, I really, really do value their work and their attitude. And so I'm so grateful for that. But also thank you to all the readers, because it's one thing pulling a magazine together, but then If it doesn't sell, we wouldn't be doing it. So thank you for all the support. Lasting message, I suppose, is that I'm not your typical publisher. I care when I hear of people who are not well. You know, I write to them, and if it's, I don't know, somebody's getting married or someone's had a baby, you know, I'll send them a card. So this is not your typical magazine. I don't imagine that anyone else would run a magazine the way that I do. In fact, a friend's son said to me at the weekend, I can't believe you do it like this because you could make so much more money. And I said, but that's not what it's about. I'd like to think I'm really human, and that if people want to approach me, you know, I won't be offended if it's not what I want to hear. I just would love to hear from people.
You have been listening to the Bellwitch podcast, created with love and magic by me, Swales, the friendly green witch. Big thank you to my lovely guest for this episode. And thank you to you, dear listener, for choosing the Bellwitch podcast to fill your ears. If you have a witch business, an independent podcast, a witchy topic you'd like me to talk about, or a trailer you'd like me to play, reach me on thebellwitchpodcast@yahoo.com. I love to hear from you, and I love to support you, and I love to celebrate other witch businesses, because there indeed is magic in sharing audiences amongst podcasts and other spiritual businesses. If you would like to show the Bellwitch podcast some love, you can leave ratings and reviews wherever you listen to your podcasts, as those stars really do help the show to shine. Join the Bellwitch podcast on Patreon for bonus content, early access, and behind the scene videos. Until next time, stay magical, witches.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.